And a good Sunday morning. I'm Tom Weeble in your backyard. Now, don't look out the back window. It just means that we're dealing with topics affecting your life and your neighborhood here in Central Ohio. And whatever you do, don't call the sheriff because he's right next to me. And I'll introduce him in a moment. I had said in my first go-around, this is program number two, that I've been in retirement for quite a while, spent many, many years with microphones and cameras, and it's really great to be back again. Anybody who's loved their work life would understand that, I think. And we'll be talking with a lot of local folks, and it's going to be a casual conversation. I am not a confrontational person, although I'm not afraid of it. You'll meet a lot of your leaders in the course of this program, and learn about a lot of important activities and goings on. So if you want to make a comment along the line, that's all right. I believe that I can handle any suggestions. So with that, I'm kind of the new guy here, really. The gentleman who is our local sheriff has been on this station before, as I understand, seems to enjoy talking with you folks and advising you on things, and that all sounds pretty good. It's Russell Martin, and I'll mention that he is the sheriff. I won't let you forget that, but thanks for joining us today, finally, and we want to follow some direction from you and things that you'd like to deal with along the way in this brief 30 minutes. In general, what's important to stress? You help me in this half hour. Give me an idea. Is it the crime scene in general that we need to deal with?
Well, Tom, first of all, I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity and a platform. Any chance I have to advocate for this profession, I always like to try to take advantage of it. After nearly 42 years in the profession and public safety, I've seen a lot, have a lot of experience, and, I'm always willing to kind of share my insights and observations with the community that that we serve and live in. So, you know, I will tell you, one of the first things that I always want to put out there is that the last few years have been pretty tough years for law enforcement across the board. There's no doubt about it. Since the George Floyd tragedy, there was a lot of narrative about law enforcement, reform in law enforcement, and I will tell you a great deal of how law enforcement has been characterized over the last few years, just frankly, has been, it hasn't been real. It hasn't been realistic. And, while our profession, along with other professions, there's always room for improvement. I would be the first one to advocate for that. I've just met too many law enforcement officers through the years to categorize them as all either racist or indifferent about the communities they serve. That's just not the truth. The reality of it is that by and large, the men and women that serve in this profession, the men and women that wear a star badge or shield, they go to work each day as citizen servants, putting their life on the line for complete strangers, and they still care about their communities that they live and serve in.
The thing that I've always thought was kind of a demanding issue with law enforcement, everyone that I talk to says that they want to help people. They want to make people's lives better and keep them safe. Yet at the same time, they are armed. They're ready to get tough, if you will, and it's almost what you'd call a dichotomy in many ways. You're asking for someone with a real sweep of abilities, in other words.
Yeah, an awful lot is asked of law enforcement. And I've been at it since the late 70s and early 80s. And I've seen the demands from society that have been dropped upon law enforcement. Everything from dealing with the homeless to those struggling with mental illness and mental health and crisis in mental illness. The drug problems, drug addictions, illegal drug trafficking, and then just maintaining and restoring law and order. So when you take the complexity of our society, the demands placed upon law enforcement over the last several decades, it has become an extraordinary job to perform that puts a lot of our citizen servants under great stress. But I will say that by and large, law enforcement has done a remarkable job in responding to everything that's been put upon them over the last few decades. And I do have concerns as we talk about reform and moving law enforcement out of some areas. My question is, who stands in that gap? Who responds to a mental health crisis? And who responds to emergencies that's better equipped than law enforcement? So, yeah, it's been a lot asked of us, and I will tell you that by and large, the men and women that do this, they do a remarkable job.
How are things, considering COVID and other influences, what's the personnel situation right now and in a very big growing community?
Yeah, well, I have the opportunity to periodically talk to law enforcement managers and executives around the state of Ohio, and then once in a while travel across this country as a invited guest to law enforcement agencies to talk about leadership and, you know, my law enforcement insights. I will tell you one of the things that law enforcement is dealing with is a more shallow pool of candidates for this profession. There are fewer and fewer people that have a long-term interest in serving in law enforcement, and I think that's by and large because of the narrative that we've heard the last couple years. I think young people are being discouraged by their families not to go into this profession because of the negative things that they've seen, some of the criticisms. So there are fewer and fewer people entering the profession. We have seen a lot of retirements in recent years, men and women who have kind of had enough of the profession, and we've lost a lot of institutional knowledge as a result of that. But we've been pretty fortunate here locally. While the applicant pool has gotten more shallow, we are still finding there are good young men and women who really want to serve that are still applying.
You're welcome to do any recruiting if you wish. What's a good reason? The job doesn't pay too badly.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, since the 80s, and the reality of it is that, you know, prior to that, there was no unionization in law enforcement. And when the unions came along, they were able to negotiate for better wages. So, you know what? Whether you're a corrections officer or a police officer or an auxiliary service and support to law enforcement, there you can make a decent wage with good benefits, a public defined pension, and you know, some of those things go a long way. You're not going to get rich in law enforcement, but one thing you can be guaranteed of, and that's job security and a paycheck every 2 weeks or once a month. So sometimes you know, that steady as it goes is appealing for people that want to you know, raise a family and pay bills and have a good income.
Then, of course, there's a situation where somebody like you sets up a great training program and you do everything to have that incentive. And about the time they're ready to go to work, they get a better offer someplace or something looks a little better. You run into that?
Yeah, we are starting to see a little bit more of that. You know, I don't know if it's generational or if it's the profession, but we have seen some people leave for perceived greener pastures, or they just determined the profession wasn't for them. And, you know, I think when I first came up, a lot of times the men and women, they stayed with one agency or one profession for, you know, several decades. So we're starting to see a little bit more of that. But, you know, by and large, if you recruit and train, hire good people with the right motivation and inspiration, hopefully they'll be long-term employees for you and long-term servants to their community.
We'll take a short break around this time. Again, Tom Weibel, and it's great to meet finally our sheriff, Russ Martin. Prior to that, of course, he was police chief, and we'll look back over that. Back with you after this quick reminder from Mosier Market. Tom Weibel and the company of the Delaware County Sheriff, Russell Martin, Should I be using any more than that? What's your middle initial, by the way, just so we know it?
Yeah, it's Russell Lee Martin is my full name. And, you know, when you've been a sheriff for 10 years like I have, or a former chief of police, sometimes people just drop your first name and they just call you on the street, hey, sheriff, or hey, chief. So I answer to just about anything. And frankly, I've been called a lot of things. So whatever you're comfortable with, Tom, I am as well.
Where were you raised?
I grew up in St. Mary's, Ohio, which is in Auglaize County. I know you worked for a time over near Lima, right?
I did, yes, sir.
So you know that part of the state. So that's where I spent my youth and went to high school at St. Mary's Memorial. After that, I went to actually spent a year in journalism school at Ohio University down in Athens.
Interesting.
And then thought I was going to be a writer for Sports Illustrated as an 18-year-old. But I had another calling, and that was law enforcement. So I transferred to, at that time, it was Lima Technical College. Now it's Rhodes State College. I got an associate's degree there and eventually transferred and got a bachelor's degree from Bowling Green State University. So I've got a lot of history in Northwest Ohio and still consider it kind of my homeland. But my wife and I moved down here 40-plus years ago, and we have no regrets about how blessed we've been in Central Ohio.
I had one little note here that said, is this guy a glutton for punishment? Because you could have easily kind of walked away and relaxed after the city job.
Did my wife tell you to ask me that question, Tom?
I just had a premonition or
yeah,
something.
Well, you know, I had a great career at the Delaware City Police Department, and unfortunately, the previous sheriff got himself into some ethical and legal problems. And when the local Republican Party approached me about a possibility for the appointment and running for election, I had to think long and hard about it, but I only had a few days to do that. And I really have stayed this long because I believe in what the men and women do in this profession. I still thought I had something to contribute to the Delaware County Sheriff's Office and to law enforcement in general. And, you know, the last couple of years, the challenges that law enforcement has faced, I felt like I couldn't walk away during those most difficult times. So I'm still here. It's been a great run. I know I'm getting closer to the end of my career than obviously the beginning. And certainly my wife has appealed to me on more than one occasion, how much longer are you going to do this? But I still love it. I love the men and women I serve with. I love this great community. And I'll be here tomorrow, Lord willing.
Thanks for that on behalf of all of us. I mean that, Russ. In the course of being who you are, I'm sure you're involved in, and I wanted to drop this in, if you want to mention any other community activities. I know you're probably in demand as far as just being there, but other things that mean a lot to you.
Well, I've served on several nonprofit boards through the years. I was a co-chair on the Turning Point Domestic Violence Shelters Capital Campaign, and we were able to raise over $3 million to get our first domestic violence shelter built here in Delaware County a few years ago. That's been near and dear to my heart. I've been involved for several years with the Grace Clinic. It is a free medical clinic. It's a faith-based organization. And their mission is to provide medical services for the indigent or those people upon hard times with the hope of not only sharing and meeting their physical needs, but also their spiritual needs. And then I was appointed a couple years ago to the Board of Trustees at Bowling Green State University. That's my alma mater.
Wow, wow, great.
And, you know, it's been great to be associated with them as well. So, yeah, I have several interests, a lot of irons in the fire, including leadership training and working with law enforcement leaders and managers around the state to encourage ethical and principle-based leadership. So, yeah, I stay pretty busy outside of work as well.
What are your ways to relax?
Well, my wife would ask that as well. She says perhaps I don't do enough of it and do enough of it with her. But I will tell you, I mean, I love to swim. I love to take quiet walks. I'm a music fan as well. No particular style, but all different types of styles. I like live music, and I've usually got two or three books sitting on my desk at home that I'm reading. So a nice, relaxing evening for me is sitting on the back porch with a cold beverage and a good book in my lap.
So you've been able to find that balance, it sounds like.
Well, I have. I've probably struggled with that balance a little bit, and my wife would attest to that too. But you know, as I've got older, I'd like to think you can still teach an old dog new tricks. And you know, I'm trying to have a better balanced lifestyle, and still working on that, Tom.
This is your Delaware County Sheriff, folks, and I've understood from others you like to be accessible. You're not trying to avoid saying hi and maybe hearing a concern.
Well, yeah, I think it's important that your elected officials and leaders are available to the community. I've put my cell phone number out there to a lot of people in the community, and I do hear from folks. You know, if they're not satisfied with something the sheriff's office is doing, or if they just have questions that they want to bounce off of me. So I think it's important to stay connected. It's probably been a little bit of a struggle sometimes with that balanced life, you know, getting phone calls after hours on the weekends. But I think if you step into this position as a public servant, you should plan on being available to the public that you serve.
And it's always painful when you lose someone not too far from here. I don't have it written down, but there was loss of an officer not too far away, and I imagine you wince every time you hear about those things.
Yeah, we recently lost a deputy in Clark County who was shot and killed responding to a disturbance call. And, you know, that's a chief or sheriff's worst nightmare is the thought of having to bury one of your own or hand that folded flag to a loved one. And when we lose police officers, Tom, I feel strongly about this, regardless of where it occurs, whether it's in our own backyard, across this state, or across this nation. It's an assault on democracy, and it's an assault on all of us who believe in civility and in protecting the freedoms that we have in this great country. So, yeah, it's heartbreaking when we have to bury one of our own.
Now, the location here in central Ohio, close to Columbus and Franklin County, where there have been too many sad reports of violence. Crime, they say, knows no boundaries. Take it from there as far as your adjacency to the middle of Ohio.
Well, yeah, we've watched this trend. It's not just a spike anymore, this trend in violent crime, shootings, robbery, and unfortunately homicides in central Ohio, and how that has impacted even us here in Delaware County. We recently had an active shooter on Interstate 71. That call terminated in this county. Shots were fired. The police, fortunately, were able to disable that shooter without any loss of life. But no, we've seen this this trend for the last couple of years, and it certainly has been disconcerting. And I think it's a contribution to it has been how people have responded to law enforcement in general over these last few years.
Are your folks assigned based on where things happen?
Well, yeah, we've got the county broken into 8 different districts, and we have deputies assigned to those. But I will tell you, a great portion of our activity occurs in the southern tier of Delaware County. Some of that adjacent to Polaris and Orange and Liberty and Concord Township, frankly, where the populations are. So we go where the problems are. When people call 911, we're responding.
And you do cooperate. Folks may not realize how much you all the forces work together and team up.
Yeah, and that is especially true here in central Ohio in this region. We have great working relationships. They've been fostered in advance with our law enforcement executives and law enforcement agencies throughout the region. And I think that might separate us from even a lot of places. Everybody plays well in a sandbox here with the intent of keeping people safe and keeping each other safe.
Back with your Delaware County Sheriff, Russ Martin. I'm Tom Weeble, and back in a few seconds after we salute our great supporters there, Mosier Market. And a few minutes more here on this gathering on Sunday. Remind you again, Tom Weibel, I'm the new guy here, much more than my guest, I think, our good sheriff, Sheriff Martin, Delaware County. But it's great to be with you, and we'll be looking at people and issues here on Sunday morning over the weeks and the months ahead. I'm a veteran from way back in this business. It's nice to be back with you, just like enforcement kind of grows on you, and you never want to really leave it entirely. So in the few more minutes, I told Russ, as far as things you want to bring up, let me mention one thing that I had a note on. You talked about all the things that an officer is required to do and be responsible for, real contrast. There is talk, isn't there, of having perhaps, for example, mental health specialists, folks with that skill, armed or not, but they would work hand in hand with armed officers, and they would handle specific situations. Now, can that be practical and workable, Russ?
Well, I think it can be. It's not easy, but listen, law enforcement welcomes anything that can be provided to make our job easier, make the community safer, make our law enforcement officers safer. You know, there's a expense to that as well. Oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes when you respond to somebody who's involved in a mental health crisis, there's a potential for violence. And I'll tell you, law enforcement does a remarkable job and has through whether it's been crisis intervention training and techniques to de-escalate, whether it's been their experience through the years in dealing with people in mental health crisis. Law enforcement does a remarkable job in de-escalating most circumstances. If we can downstream, and by that I mean upon the early intent of the call, determine if it's not a necessary a crisis, a potential for violence, or critical for law enforcement to respond, we certainly could and will continue to advocate for having people that can help intervene. But again, you've got to build that infrastructure. You've got to have the right people to do that. And on occasion, you don't want to put those people at risk if they're responding to somebody in a mental health crisis that is potentially violent. So it's being tried in some corners of this country. There has been some success, but there's no one solution or panacea that's going to cover the broad range of problems that law enforcement deals with. And so I think some of that is still in the early stages with some, hopefully, some ongoing success. But not going to happen overnight, and I don't think law enforcement's ever not going to be needed to deal with people in crisis as well.
There's an item here that maybe neither one of us would have thought about, but how we respond, how we react. If we're pulled over, or maybe a couple of officers appear, for whatever the reason, do we need to, as citizens, think a little bit about our response when things happen?
Yeah, I think that unless you've walked a mile in somebody's shoes, sometimes you just don't quite understand their perspective. And that's true of both people in law enforcement and people in the community. Keep in mind that when a law enforcement officer has an encounter with a citizen, whether it be a traffic stop or responding to a complaint, we've got to be reminded there's really no routine call, and that sometimes things can go south in a heartbeat. A police officer can make a traffic stop on somebody in the middle of the day or late at night, and you don't know who that person is. You don't know where they've come from. We've heard accounts in this business where they've made a traffic stop, what appeared to be a routine traffic stop, and that person just left the scene of a crime. And as the officer approaches, not sure what's going on, that person behind the wheel or being stopped had some evil intent. So it's incumbent on police officers to balance caution and vigilance with treating people with dignity and respect. And whenever citizens understand that and can oblige and be cooperative, it really makes the encounter that much easier for law enforcement and should make the encounter that much better for the citizens that we deal with.
Now, do you also instruct your folks to bring their respect to the situation and balance?
Absolutely, Tom. And you know what? We should always treat people. That's just a general rule of civility. You should always treat people with dignity and respect. And I preach in our office, and whenever I teach on this topic and share with other law enforcement officers, the only reason that we are in a position of authority is because the community has granted it to us. And we should take that as a high calling and an honor, and we should pursue that trust at the highest professional level. And people in law enforcement, those who wear a star, badge, or shield, should frankly treat people the way they would want to be treated, or treat people the way they would want their mother to be treated.
And you do have to discipline sometimes, and maybe the public needs to know that if an officer takes a wrong approach, makes a bad decision, there are consequences.
Yeah, it's a reflection on all of us in this profession when one officer or deputy does something inappropriate. And, you know, we should be held accountable. It should always be a headline when law enforcement does something wrong, because the expectation is so high of us. So, yeah, it's incumbent on good law enforcement leaders to hold those people they're responsible for to the highest standard, and at times discipline, correct, and on the worst case scenario, sometimes separate with those people that shouldn't be wearing a badge, star, or shield.
Okay. Now, this is a time when I'll open it up for you. You know, geniuses that we are as radio folks don't always get to everything. What other message might you want to send along, Russ?
Yeah, I would say that we're, first of all, in Delaware County, we're really fortunate in that we serve a good constituency. And really, when law enforcement and the community has a cooperative and collaborative nature by which they serve and work with each other, that's what makes communities the safest and leads to civil neighborhoods and communities. We are very fortunate in this county. I will say this, though, that the men and women, by and large, that serve in this is still a calling. It's not just a job, and it should never be just a job. And we should take the power that we've been given and hold it in the highest regard and the highest esteem, and know that the reason we serve is because the citizens allow us to serve them. And, you know, again, at the end of the day, it's a great opportunity to make a difference in our communities.
Our sheriff for Delaware County, and thank you for direct responses, and it means a lot to all of us.
My pleasure.
Russ Martin, properly Russell, Sheriff Russell Martin, and I'm Tom Weeble. Good to be with you today. Don't forget our good supporters, Mosier Market in Raymond. Back with you next Sunday morning at 9:30, and appreciate your being out there. And this is Tom Weeble in your backyard. That's right. That's what we call it. And we'll look forward to joining you next time around. So take care.